All right. Can you
All
hear me now?
right. I got it, buddy. We're here.
Okay, there's both of us. Now we need Dalton.
Yeah, Dalton should be here soon.
All right.
How you been, buddy?
Really good. Not playing enough hockey, but good.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Dalton, what's up,
yeah,
buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I got it. Everyone's here.
Nice.
Fucking exciting.
Hell,
oh, sorry,
yeah.
No swearing.
No, it's all
this
good.
Is a Christian podcast.
That's right.
Shit, I better leave right now then.
All right, boys. Well, I'm going to start this off with an intro real quick.
All right.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to episode one of South of the Blue Line. We've got Dalton in Edmonton.
Hey, hey.
We got Chris in Tampa.
I fucking love Edmonton.
Yours truly, I'm in Orlando.
Nice.
Jesus.
I'm sorry, Michael. I got to correct you already. I'm actually in Calgary this year.
Oh, you're in Calgary this year, buddy.
Yeah.
So you're a traitor. That's what it sounds like.
Hey, you know, you can
gross.
Live in the city. You don't have to cheer for the team.
Yeah, fair enough. Listen, I lived in Calgary for a couple years, too. It's all good.
And you live in Tampa
don't
now.
Don't step in any Cal shit.
We only got snow on the ground right now, so.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
It's frozen that way. It's not good.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Well, lots of hockey going on this week. Thank God the season started already.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, I almost went crazy waiting for the next Oilers game, though.
Yeah, for real.
That break was actually killer.
Well, the break.
What is up with the schedule?
Yeah.
Because we had the same thing with the Jets. Like, these weird, like, the season starts and then they give us all these weird 2 and 3 day breaks. It's like, let's start fucking playing, boys. What are we waiting for?
Yeah. Well, also, there was no hockey last night at all.
Yeah, which is really weird. Like
on a Friday night.
Yeah, for some reason, they have like 1,000 games on Thursday and then 1,000 games today, but not on Friday.
Exactly.
I didn't know what to do last night. It was crazy. Or I guess the night before.
This is why you don't let Americans control things, because they fuck them up.
So, have you guys seen the Tom Wilson hit?
Which one?
Oh, fair enough. The most recent one.
The one he just got suspended for?
On Sunquist.
Sunquist.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one.
The most recent one. He came across and blew him up.
Oh, yeah. As if Sunquist is taking the shot, right?
Yeah. Sunquist, like, cut to the middle, and he had his head down, I guess, like an idiot. And then Wilson
like
came.
A European.
Yeah, like a European. And Wilson came from the side and just wrecked his world.
Yeah. Oh, it was a pretty dirty hit in my mind. Well, he got suspended for what? Like 70 games?
20 games. He's appealed. He actually, his appeal is next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Bettman's being the overseeing it instead of the guy from the safety commission. So we'll see what happens.
Does he have priors?
What?
Does he have any priors?
Oh yeah. Wilson, I saw a stat. Wilson has been suspended 4 times in the last like 27 games, if you include the playoffs.
Yeah, it's something stupid like that. He's been just reckless. It's bad.
I gotta say no mercy then. Sorry.
Yeah. So you agree he deserves the 20 games then, Chris?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you see how much money he's losing because of the suspension, though?
Yeah, he's losing, like, he has to write the NHL, like, Player Association or Safety Commission, like, $1.3 million.
Yeah, it's just insane.
Yo, Mike.
What's up, buddy?
Mike, imagine how many eggs you'd have to poach to make that money.
Oh, my God. No. Imagine how much syrup I would have to scrub off a table to make that money. Oh, my God.
Oh, you don't even get poached eggs, you poor son of a bitch.
No. I'm picking up people's half-eaten cold eggs.
Oh man, that's a tasty lunch.
Oh yeah, it's great. I get home and I can feel it on my like on my whole body for like hours. It's horrible. You gotta like scrub it.
That is tasty right there.
Yeah. Alright, well now that we got the Tom Wilson thing out of the way, let's jump into the definitely most important hockey topic of the season. The 2018-2019 Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, of course. Naturally.
Of course. Definitely number one on the list.
Yes, always. Well, man. So are we going to talk about just the game today, or you want to kind of talk about...
Well, so I was thinking we'll talk about the game today a little bit later, because Chris is a Jets fan, so I thought we'd do a little bit of the Oilers. You know, maybe like a little season preview, just looking at like some... picking the team for the Oilers, then the Jets, then we can jump into the game.
All right, that makes sense.
So, I don't know how much you've been following the Oilers, Chris.
Sorry, I dipped out there for a second. I had to come back, but I'm back.
Okay.
I watched a little bit of the Oilers, not an intense amount, but a little bit.
A little bit?
Yep.
So, Dalton, what do you think about them leaving Bouchard up?
Oh, man. I think, in my mind, he's the fifth best defenseman on the Oilers right now. Maybe fourth.
I'm so glad we're paying Russell all that money.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they sat Benning today, eh?
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, I guess it went better. Honestly, I like Garrison and Bouchard together more than I like Russell and Bouchard.
Well, I mean, I like Garrison and Bouchard together because Garrison just never touches the puck and just gives it to Bouchard.
Garrison knows that he is stone hands, so just give it to the guy who knows how to pass the puck.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a couple of opinions. First of all, I have a comment. I think that, you know how Babe Ruth, the curse of the Bambino in Boston, it took them like, what, 100 years to win a world championship after he left?
Mm-hmm, right.
I feel like the Oilers are suffering the curse of Chris Brigham Pronger because ever since Pronger left, they've had fucking garbage for D. Yeah. They and even good defensemen will come over and instantly turn to garbage.
Like, oh man,
yeah. I don't know what's going on, but you guys cannot sort it out.
Like we had. Remember when we had Whitney?
Broke his ankle and then he was garbage from then on.
Then he went to Pittsburgh and like won a Stanley Cup, banging in goals with Crosby.
Same situation with Justin Schultz.
How about Justin the Jolts Schultz?
Oh my god. Man, I was so happy when that
The next Bobby Orr, Ray Bourque, and oh my goodness, we destroyed him.
Yeah.
And it's another weird thing, like even when Pronger was on the team, he made shit defensemen good.
Yeah.
Because if you look at that defense, like the Oilers that year had so many injuries on defense.
Yeah.
They played, I look back, they played like 14 defensemen.
Yeah.
And guys like Danny fucking Savret, Marc-Andre Bergeron.
Oh, Bergeron.
Igor Ulanov was a good defenseman.
The best Bergeron.
Igor Ulanov.
Bergeron.
Yeah.
The best.
So Bergeron. I don't know. Ever since he left, they've been fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So you agree, so you think how long do you think he's staying up with the team? You think he's getting his 9 games and going back to London, or you think he's playing the whole season?
I think the Oilers are so desperate right now that if he can keep up the level of play, I think he'll stay.
Yeah,
I'm agree with you there. I think, well, I don't know. I think they got too many defensemen right now. I kind of like to see Garrison sent down or a roster spot opened up so that they can give Bear a couple.
You want Bear back up? Yeah.
Yeah, I would like honestly Bouchard and Bear to be playing right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that just the overall talent and learning curve there will outweigh the fact that they're not maybe as defensively sound. Like
from the
games the Oilers have played, you can just see Bouchard getting a little bit more confident every game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if he is only playing like 9 minutes a game.
Yeah. But like, and then also he can actually move the puck right.
Oh my dude, his first pass, oh my goodness, just from blue line to blue line, zips it tape to tape. And like, we all knew that's what he had, but just watching it, it's so nice to watch.
Yeah, he's just so calm out there too. Mm-hmm. He looks like a veteran already. I mean, he also looks like he's 40.
He looks like Chris in my men's league game, trying to throw Chris tape-to-tape passes, except he's throwing them into plugs like me who can't catch passes.
It's always an issue.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about...
I'm going to ask a question now.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the Calgary Flames being in the top 16 NHL power rankings? They're currently sitting at 14.
That who's ever making that is actually high as balls.
I look forward to 2 games from now when Mike Smith decides to try and go post to post and his 70-year-old joints just snap and they have to duct tape his legs back together because David Rittich can't stop a beach ball.
No kidding. The Flames, they just, for how good their defense looks on paper, it just looks terrible in game. Like they just.
I must say, Hanifin for Dougie Hamilton, such a bad idea.
Yeah, Lindholm's played pretty well for them so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when, of course,
Bean is your captain, you know you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. The freaking pizza man up there.
Oh. I don't know. That was the one most frustrating thing for me as an Oilers fan, is that it didn't matter what the circumstances. The Oilers always seemed to, or the Flames always seemed to duct tape a better team together than the Oilers. And they'd have this shit team, and they'd still beat the Oilers all the time. It was just to drive me crazy.
I think the Flames always have consistently had better goaltending, though, in recent years.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that helps a lot. Like even one year the Flames had Red O'Bara. Red O'Bara and Jonas Hiller. They still made the playoffs or something like that. Or they got close.
Yeah, they made the playoffs that year with Hiller, and then he just collapsed.
That's right.
The postseason happened. Beautiful to watch.
It's defense too, guys, because you look at a guy like Devan Dubnyk. I mean, he was hot garbage in Edmonton. All of a sudden, he became a superstar. Says a lot.
Edmonton, he didn't have terrible numbers. He was a little below average, but he certainly wasn't that Vezina caliber he became when he was
I bet we could make a playoff team using just Oilers we've sent away.
No doubt.
Our team would that team would be nasty if you took all the teams that are all the players that we've sent away and made a team. That team's making the playoffs.
Well, yeah, you got Hall, Eberle, Perron, Dubnyk,
and then if you add maybe prospects, you'd get Barzal in the Norris Wing Griffin Reinhart trade.
Oh my god, dude, that trade every day. I think about it just once, and then I'm a sad. Just a little bit sad.
Oh, my God. Think about that depth of Barzal, McDavid, and Draisaitl. Oh, my goodness.
And so that's, for me, that's the main difference between the Oilers and the Jets right now, is the Jets, they didn't make any sexy moves, but they just made really smart draft picks. Even when they were drafting a bit lower, even when they were drafting kind of off the table a little bit, Shifley instead of Couturier, thank God. He's one of the best forwards in the game today.
I actually looked pretty recently at the draft or the Jets first rounder over the last few 7 years ish. And man, they just hit on every single
pick. Yeah, they have.
They just didn't miss. It was whoever's the in charge of draft in there he's doing his job well.
Yeah, he is. But back to the Oilers real quick. How about speaking of draft picks, how about Yamamoto sticking with the team.
Man,
Little engine that could.
I am going back and forth whether he should make the team this year or not.
I mean, he's sometimes he's noticeable, and then sometimes he's not at all.
Yeah. He's so good at getting the puck off the opposition, and he's so good at being a forechecker.
He's real gritty in front of the net.
He feels like he's just missing something.
I agree.
I just don't know who they're gonna put in the spot. You could move Puljujärvi up, I guess.
Give Puljujärvi top 6 minutes, please.
No, Tom McClellan's a coach. It'll never happen.
Oh man, and then how about the signing of? For $2.5 million, no trade clause. Mikko the Answer Koskinen.
Hasn't played a game yet.
And he's looked great sitting on the bench.
Well, yeah, he's got fancy, shiny number 19 there. Haven't seen a goalie like that in a while.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, changes to their defense, they're not going to do anything, ever. And I don't know why they've always had they had really great forward depth, and they did not use that to their advantage. I know they tried, Hall for Larson.
Oh, God.
I just don't think they made the right choices. Hall is a one of a kind player. You guys obviously know that.
Larson's done his job. Obviously Hall for Larson isn't an equal trade, but Larson has done everything we've asked him to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys needed. You know what you guys needed for Hall. You needed Drew Doughty.
Drew Doughty, but you needed Drew Doughty 2 years before he turns into Drew Doughty. You need to find that defense.
Hold on to Taylor Hall or Eberle for I think we hold on to Eberle for last year. We keep him, and then before he hits unrestricted free agency, we trade him and maybe a couple picks to Ottawa. Erik Karlsson.
Easy. Why aren't you the GM?
Honestly, guys, I don't think Carlson's the type of player your team needs. Your team needs to keep the puck out of its own net. Like, you have enough scoring, right?
Well, I mean, with Eric Carlson, the puck never especially be in your own zone.
If you don't have a lot of it out. I don't know. I just think that your team needs more, like, you need a good puck mover back there, but you need a guy who can, like, actually retrieve the puck consistently. And I don't know if Carlson's exactly that guy. Like, he's a phenomenal defenseman, but I'm thinking of guys like even like a Jacob Trouba or a Josh Morrissey.
Or maybe, you know, maybe like a Brent Burns, something like that. I think I get what you're saying.
Well, I mean, like, even a Jeff Petrie, if they wouldn't have traded him for a second round pick.
There, bring back Ladislav Smead.
Well, fuck, dude, he's broken.
Laddie Smead.
Dude, that kid.
Yeah, and then we traded him to Calgary for a bag of pucks.
Yeah, well, Chris Swab.
Oh, right.
Isn't he playing for the Jets now?
That's a great, honestly, A1 segue right there, boys. The Winnipeg Jets now.
The Winnipeg Jets now.
Yeah, Chris, how are you feeling about him?
I'm feeling really great about the Jets, actually. Although, you know, I think there's a bit of a, you know, playoff hangover right now, but the team has played better the last couple of games. They got totally jobbed by the refs in Nashville the other night. 8 minors in a row called against them.
You see that line brawl?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Chris, but I think the Jets lost that line brawl in just Ehlers and Wheeler both got their face caved in.
Yeah. And as we know, you know, whoever wins the line brawl wins the game.
So. That's true. It's true.
True story.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think we lost Chris.
Oh, God. He's dead.
But, yeah, they got Brisson now, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in my mind, the way that the Jets are going to have to be successful, it's still all on the backs of Hellebuck. Can he repeat his performance from last year?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because he was lights out last year, but that was also 1 year. Talbot was lights out 2 years ago.
It's true. I'm hoping he does. I got Hellebuck in my pool. You see Brassois' glove save, though, in the preseason in Minnesota?
No, I missed it.
Oh, my goodness. He came, like, it was, like, all the way back to Dumba. And Dumba, like, wide open, just claps it. Like, Statue of Liberty, like, windmill, vintage, like, I don't know, Carey Price, top of the crease, flashing the leather.
Man, I used to go to school with Matt Dumba, actually.
You used to go to school with Matt Dumba?
Yeah, I was good friends with his little brother, Kyle.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Back when people thought I was good at hockey.
Yeah. Chris, you're back, buddy?
I'm back.
Oh.
Keep dropping.
Yeah. We were talking about Brassois.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going before I got cut off.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looked really great in preseason, and he actually has the same goaltending coach as Hellebuck.
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading that. I
do have high hopes for him, but at the same time, like, can he play the 25 games or 30 games in the regular season to keep Hellebuck fresh? Because I really do believe in that Vegas series. He started to show that he was tired, that he played like 70-odd games. So that's a big question mark for me. And then the other thing is the Jets basically, I think they have like 3.5 top 4 defensemen. Mm-hmm. And then they have like 4 bottom pair, you know, tweener press box defensemen. So if they could find a legit top 4 guy to play the left side, I think they would be set on defense.
Is Bufflin plays what, the right side?
Bufflin plays the right side, and Bufflin is, yeah.
Well, would you be interested in a nice, shiny Chris Russell?
He blocked. Just kidding. He blocked shots at an unbelievable pace.
Yeah, just kidding.
There'd be a no move. Revolt in Winnipeg if we got Chris Russell. I can guarantee that.
Trouba for Russell, 1-for-1.
Good trade.
Oh, my God. No, well, good nurse for Trouba, though. The only problem is Trouba won't want to go to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Is a remarkably close trade. I don't know if I do that. I probably would do that. Actually.
Me and Chris have actually talked about this for a while, and I think I agree. I think Trouba's a little bit more money, and I like a year older. But I just don't know. I think it would depend on how well Nurse plays this season, because Nurse made a big jump last season, and so this season is like the season. It's kind of like the show me season. Like, you gotta, like, all right, we paid you a little bit of money. Let's see what you got, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it also depends a lot on that trade. Like, I wouldn't make it today.
Yeah.
I'd probably look at how our right-handed options in the system, like Bear, Bouchard, how mm-hmm. they're actually going to be playing. But, man, a top-pairing right-handed defenseman sounds real good right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or even a second-pairing right-handed defenseman.
Yeah. Chris, I saw a couple of rookies made the Jets lineup, Vasilainen and Lemieux.
Oh, Brandon Lemieux it is.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the best Lemieux, mind you.
Absolutely.
So Vasilainen, he's going to be a star, but not yet. He's mm-hmm. one of those guys that's kind of just trying not to be noticed when he's out there. Yeah. So I do expect him to go back to Europe. He probably won't play for the Moose. He's got an agreement when he signed his ELC that if he didn't make the Jets out of camp, and he didn't stay with the Jets, he could opt to go back to Europe. I think obviously playing for the Moose is the best idea for his development, but players get to make their own decisions.
Yeah, well, look what happened to Peterson for Vancouver. He went back and played in Sweden for a year, and now he's just looking lights out.
Oh, dude, Pettersson looks sick.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah. You think he wins? Yeah. You think he wins the Calder?
I think he's the favorite for it.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's. Dolan's look pretty good though, but
really, but I think he's got no points yet, and I know it's not all about points, especially as a defenseman compared to a forward, but he's also playing. Yeah, no, that's true. I don't know.
Yeah,
it'll be tight.
Yeah, I haven't watched very many of the games, and I was reading up like a little bit about him. And, mm-hmm. But yeah, he's already like leading the defense in ice time. I'm pretty sure already, and he's looking sick out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it'd have to take a pretty incredible season for a defenseman to win the Calder. Like, when was the last time that happened?
Yeah. Ekblad, maybe? Yeah, Ekblad would have been the last time.
Yeah.
But, Chris, how about Kyle Connor, though? That dude is a monster.
Connor is a special player.
Like, what? He's got, like, 4 points in 4 games already?
Yeah, three Genos. That top line, thank God for it, because Laine and Ehlers have done jack shit so far this year.
Yeah, yeah. I got Ehlers in my pool. No points. What the hell?
They'll get there. It's just they're trying to force a line that's just not going to work. They're trying to play Ehlers, Laine, and Little, and they did that for a long portion of last year, and it just really wasn't very effective. I just don't know why they keep going back to it, but...
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, Laine is going to score goals no matter what. So yeah. I think if, as long as you're, because your defense looks real good, if Hellebuck can be like at least 80% of what he was last season and that top line just destroys worlds, as I'm sure they will all season, there, I wouldn't be surprised if they make it back to the conference finals or even the cup finals.
Yeah, in my mind, the Jets are—they're a lock to make the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if I quite believe the hype and where they're going to be a Stanley Cup actual champion this year or make it all the way there. I kind of feel like it's going to be a little bit of a hangover season for them, but I'd be happy to be wrong about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
they're still a young team too. I think they're the second or third youngest team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So, that says a lot. For the future, but at the same time, you want a little bit of age and maturity. I think it's going to depend on whether the players like Laine and Ehlers can have a big season again, and if they pick up somebody, some key people at the trade deadline, like, kind of like what they did with Stastny last year.
That's right.
Because I think you need that. But it's got to be the right fit too, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to give up too much either, right? You don't want to screw yourself for the next couple of years by going all in 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, or you just do what the Capitals did. Just keep blowing all your picks to the trade deadline. Then when everyone thinks you're out of it, win the cup.
Yeah, exactly. Just do that. It's easy.
Well, today there was an Oilers game. And thank God we won. Oilers Twitter can... take a deep sigh of relief because I was getting a little antsy, especially after that. Just everyone was so hyped and like we killed in the preseason. Everyone's like, oh my God, Ty Ratty, the answer. Ty Ratty is going to score 90 points this season. David, breaking Gretzky's record, 300 points.
That being said, Ratty looked great today. Like,
yeah.
He, for a guy that just really just came out of nowhere for the Oilers, he looks like, even if he wasn't playing with McDavid, I'd say he probably is a solid second liner right now. He's playing that well.
I think that all has to do with confidence. Like, I think at the end of the last season, he kind of saw that he could do it. And, like, McDavid obviously helps, like, accentuate that. And then he went in the offseason, like, worked his ass off. And then, like, came into the preseason, like, going, like, this is my spot, and I'm not losing this spot. In the one goal against Boston the other night, that the Spinarama backhand pass to McDavid in full flight. Granted,
I can't believe that worked, but, man, that was such
well,
a nice
Well, I mean, like, it worked just because, honestly, like, it had to be – it couldn't have been anyone else but McDavid. And then McDavid walked that walking fossil of Zdeno Chara.
Yeah. Man, I can't believe he's still in the league.
He's not a bad D-man, though.
Yeah, he's still a good defenseman, but he's 41 years
still
old.
Still top four on the Oilers.
Oh, absolutely. He's top one on the Oilers. You kidding me? Like, first, maybe Kleffy gives him a run for his money some days, but I don't know.
Yeah. I know. Kleffbaum some days just looks like such a smooth skating, like, handles the puck, good first pass, like, rocket of a shot. And the other days, he just looks like he's handling a grenade.
Yeah.
It's just... Like he'll get the puck in his own zone, and he forgets he's Oscar Kleffbaum and does what I would do, which is just, and get rid of it.
Throw it up the glass.
Exactly.
Give it to him. It's
maturity.
Yeah.
Maturity. That's why defensemen, you know, people give up on defensemen far too quickly. But, you know, it's funny because we were talking about Zdeno Chara. Well, Zdeno Chara was a pile of crap when he was an Islander.
Oh, yeah,
like,
he was
a super tall, mistake-prone, bumbling, slow, like, I don't even know why he was in the NHL.
Yeah.
And then he got traded to Ottawa for Yashin, right?
Yeah, I think it was in that trade.
The deal?
Yeah.
And he blossomed. And he's been a superstar ever since. It just takes some guys a little bit longer for them to mature. And I would know, personally in my own game, when I was younger, I was a lot faster. I was a lot more mobile. But man, I made stupid decisions often, like throwing the puck up the middle of the ice, thinking I could skate through four guys.
Yeah.
Now, you know, obviously I'm older, I'm more mature. And I think the game a hell of a lot better. Yeah. So
you still do all that stuff. You just get mad at yourself at the bench afterwards.
Correct.
Oh my goodness. You should see Crit in pickup games. Oh boy.
I am a ball of hate.
And actually most of the time it's not towards himself. It's towards me, his D partner in pickup.
I think I've like damaged Mike permanently, actually.
Hey, listen, since playing down here, I've been playing a lot better defense. Like every time I go play pickup, like I almost never play forward. I've been playing that I'm a right shot. So I like playing that left D so I can line up for the one timer.
Oh yeah.
But like, I feel like I've been playing a little bit better defensively. I kind of figured it out. I also figured out that you don't need to go so fast sometimes.
Especially don't need to always play at 100%.
Yeah, well, not. I don't know about not play at 100%, but like
you don't have to skate at 100%.
But like when you're going into the corner to pick up the puck, sometimes you don't need to like try and make a quick move to get around it. You can just stop, and the forechecker will just kind of do a little flyby.
Oh yeah,
and like buy you some time. Like you don't need to always turn around and skate into the guy.
Do you play pickups in a no hit league?
Yeah. It's no hit.
Yeah, that helps a little bit for that guy.
Yeah. No, listen, all 100 pounds of me, I'd be getting pancaked every time. They'd have well, to trust- I'd have to put a spatula into my hockey bag so you could prime me off the board.
I had a nickname when I was younger, when I was playing. I was like 5 feet tall right now playing midget hockey at like 16.
Hey, I remember, buddy.
Yeah. My nickname was Captain Crunch because I just got drilled all the time.
Oh no.
Not sure why the captain was in there. Don't remember. I had too many concussions that year.
Someone Tom Wilson to you?
Many, many people Tom Wilson to me.
Yeah, fair enough. But back to the Oilers game, though.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about Larson.
All right.
Man,
go.
He had a great game today. Like, this is like one of the very few games I see where he actually steps up and he becomes part of the offense. Like, he had like 6 shot attempts today. He should have had a beautiful backdoor play from McDavid, but he missed the puck.
What a surprise.
Yeah, I know. Shocker. But it's great to see him actually getting up there into the play. I think that's part of like the huge difference why the Oilers are actually successful today. That and then the Rangers kind of suck too.
Well, also McDavid has had a point on every goal the Oilers have scored this season so far. 3 games
sustainable.
In. Sustainable. Yep, sustainable. Like I said, 300 points for McDavid.
Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, he's scoring right now 5 points in 2 games. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Game.
Yeah. That's 2
He's scoring that pace all year.
Sustainable.
I mean, if he does, the Oilers are like probably still going to make the playoffs if he puts up
maybe
stupid amount of points.
I mean, Zibanejad scored that first one, and I was actually at work when he scored that first one, and I got like my phone buzz, and I looked down at my phone, and I was like, ah, oh, shit. Yeah. And I was just praying. I was like, please say the Oilers scored. Please say the Oilers scored. Please say the Oilers scored. And then I looked at it, and Zibanejad scored. I was like, oh, nuts.
Yeah.
And then I watched the highlights, and like, who knew Mark Stahl could thread a pass?
Yo, no kidding. Where did he come from? He had a great game too, Mark Stahl did.
Because he came down from that left side as a right-handed, like, faked a shot and then threaded it. You would have thought that was like Marner over to Matthews or something like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, okay. We got to transition to the Leafs for a second, I think, because, man, their start's insane.
Oh, man, but their fan base is insufferable.
Bro, like, to the point where I don't even want to go on like social media at all because I hate the Leafs so much.
Yeah, every NHL article, Sportsnet article is Matthews 9 goals, definitely sustainable.
He's breaking every record.
he's shooting it like over 50%. He's gonna do that every game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating when you're watching your broadcast, your Jets broadcast, your Oilers broadcast, and they go to the intermission. It's like, oh, let's talk about the Leafs for the entire time, every single time. Thank you so much, because we care about that.
Yeah. It's just like, Mark Scheifele may have a hat trick in this game. You know who's definitely better than him? Austin Matthews.
Exactly.
Connor McDavid won back-to-back scoring titles. You know who's better than that? Austin Matthews.
Oh, my God. Like, they're all really like great players, and Toronto's has such a well-built team this year, except offensively.
Yeah.
But, like, man, I still hate them. So.
Yeah.
So here's the problem. So, and this is why I shook my head when they signed Tavares. It was the stupidest thing they could have done. And anybody who's building a team knows that. And it's, you know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, they've wrapped up what percentage of their cap on one player, an aging player. I mean, a fantastic player. Let's not get that wrong. But still. So they had their strength has always been offensive forwards, right?
Right.
You know, Marner, Nylander, Matthews, all those guys, right? They can score goals. They can put the puck in the net. So what do? They go get another dynamic scoring forward. Why does that make any sense? Now you're basically cannibalizing yourself because not only are you taking ice time away from your young stars, but you're not going to be able to pay your young stars either. And that's why Nylander's not playing right now.
Yeah,
because
that's a good
they can't
point,
pay him.
That being said,
it's the stupidest thing they could have done.
I'm still going to sign Tavares for that much money every single time. Like, it's just, you don't get a chance to get a player that's that much of a game changer. Like,
so then
the free agency.
So the question is,
but hold on a second. Kick the can down the road just a little bit, guys. Think about this. So you sign Tavares 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to have to lose a guy like Nylander. You're going to have to lose a guy like Marner, right? Now, you got Tavares, who's starting to decline quickly. Now you've lost that offensive. Those young, cost-controlled players, they're gone. And you have nothing. Why would you do that? Unless you think you're good enough to compete for the Stanley Cup over the next couple of years, it's a critical failure. They should have went out and signed a big free agent defenseman because their defense and their goaltending is what's going to prevent them from winning a cup.
The thing is, I think offensively, they can do it right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Leafs win the Cup this year. I'd be mad. I'd be super pissed. But I think they have the team that it's worth it to go all in already. sure, they're going to lose a guy like Nylander, but it's not like they're going to lose him for nothing.
I have a hunch. Listen, I listen to a Toronto podcast, like, and they talk about the Leafs, and they talk about how insufferable the Western Canadian team fan base is, and how they're always hating on the Leafs for loving their team. And, like, so I get both sides. But, like, here's the thing. I have a hunch, and they disagree with my hunch, but I have a hunch. The longer Nylander holds out, the more they keep winning games. Like, right now, right, because, like, let's say the Leafs start off the season without Marner like they have. They're 0-5 now. Marner has now a huge position where he can sign. Or Nylander has a huge position where he can sign. But they've been winning games without defense. They've somehow turned back the clock to the 80s. and are winning games 7-6 in overtime over the Chicago Blackhawks.
Here's the problem though, Mike. You don't win those games in playoffs. You never, ever, ever win those games in playoffs. So they can light it up in the regular season. They can play as well as they did last year in the regular season. Come playoff times, it's going to be first round or second round exit, because once those opportunities to score dry up, you need to be able to keep the puck out of your own damn net. And they can't do that right now.
I think they're gonna trade Nylander. I think they're gonna trade him for a defenseman.
I think they are as well.
Look, they can trade Nylander to the Jets for Trouba. I will do that deal.
Well, the other thing you have to look at too is that the Leafs start right now, it is unsustainable, and also the quality of competition that they're playing against isn't the highest right now.
What are you talking about? Cam Nett, the starting goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks? That sounds like A1 competition.
Yeah, absolutely. What am I talking about? But
the Ottawa Senators beat them. They suck.
Oh my god.
I would like to apologize to you guys, by the way, in advance for Tuesday.
You're already smack talking.
Well, I mean, yeah, sorry.
Someone's a little cocky, eh?
Oh, listen. McDavid's gonna have a 5-point night. Ty Ratty's gonna have a hat trick.
Ty the answer ratty.
Yes,
sorry.
Ty answer as done by Oilers Nation. but here's the thing no one's talking about, though. On the Leafs, just to take it back to the Leafs one last time.
Make it a Leafs-centric podcast.
Yeah. Morgan Rielly is leading the league in scoring.
Oh. Yeah. That's right.
Got it.
It's not going to last.
No, it's not going to last. I agree.
No, I'm sorry. He's already won the Norris Trophy. The thing is, he probably is going to.
Yeah, he might.
All the voters are from, you know, the Eastern Seaboard around that area. So,
yeah. A little bit of NHL news since the season started. Carolina and Anaheim haven't lost in regulation yet.
Yo, I think Carolina is a flash in the pan. I feel like they're not making the playoffs this year.
You don't think Carolina's making the playoffs?
I don't think they have a chance in hell to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, so Chris, Carolina and Anaheim both haven't lost in regulation yet. You got any thoughts?
So I think Anaheim is the real deal. I think they're going to do fairly well in the Pacific. I think Carolina's just smoke and mirrors. Just got lucky.
Yeah.
I don't think the Kings are making the playoffs.
I think Carolina still needs better goaltending. Peter Mrazek and Scott Darling are not going to. Yeah. Or no, Curtis McElhaney.
Don't they still have Scott Darling as well?
Yeah, and they still have Scott Darling, yeah.
Yeah. I think Darling can be that number one goalie.
You think?
I think he has it in him. Like, I also, I read the Players Tribune article.
So
a little bit of a soft spot for him, you know. But
yeah, fair enough. I listened to his interview on Spit and Chicklets, and that was pretty good, too.
Yeah, so I think he can be the guy, but I don't think it's going to be this year. Like, I think another 2-3 years, maybe.
Yeah. Well, for Anaheim, I look at Anaheim, and I don't care how good of a roster they have. If they could have every all-star on their team, and I would still wish that they missed the playoffs every single year because of what they did.
Yeah.
Anaheim. Any team with Corey Perry, I can't
and
stand.
And Ryan Kesler, yeah.
No, oh, my goodness.
That's, especially when they had BX a team. Started.
BX.
What a piece of shit that guy is.
Listen, the only thing I liked about BXO was his Superman punch. That was incredible.
That was good.
And he did it twice.
Yeah, I do think the Ducks are the real deal as well. Like, I don't know about San Jose, though. I'm a little, like, well, I feel like they should be so much better than they
San Jose and Ottawa have the same record right now. They're both 2-2-1.
I mean, it's, you know, it's the start of the season.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, Vancouver was in first place in the Pacific at this point last year.
Yeah.
And
true. Oh, by the way, I think something we can all agree on right now is the fact that we're so happy that the Vancouver Canucks continue to suck balls.
No, yeah. I'm real happy they signed Jay Beagle and Antoine Roussel to 4x4s. I think that will really help them down the line.
That's another piece of shit right there.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
They're also paying Gagner, I think, 2.5 this year and next year. And yeah, he's playing for the Marlies?
No, he's not playing for the Marlies. He's playing for
they sent him to the Marlies.
Why'd they send him to the Marlies? Gagner.
Because that's where his family lives in Toronto, eh? So they want to send him to their AHL team in Utica.
That's hilarious.
Sam Gagner. Holy shit.
Oh, man. Remember when he was the answer in Edmonton?
Oh. Jesus. Gagner, Nielsen, and Robbie Schrempf.
Rob,
my boy.
Everyone thought he was going to be a superstar because he had all the dangles in practice.
Mangus Bjarvi and Linus Allmark.
I mean, to be fair, we got David Perron for Mangus Bjarvi, 1-for-1. So he did his job.
I forgot about Linus.
Yeah.
Good name.
Man, he's
good
still
a bad hockey player.
He's still just dangling people out of their seats.
Oh, my goodness. Every now and then, some of his highlights from KHL will show up. Yeah. Ridiculous. Did you see the most recent one where he alley-ooped it to himself and almost scored?
That was so good.
That was ridiculous.
Holy. Man, that's like my favorite move to do, too. It's just awesome. It's such a fun move.
Man, what's it like having good hands?
I have no idea.
Well, the trick is you just play with people that are like 40 years older than you, so you just look really good by default.
Yeah, see, I tried that, and somehow I still look bad.
Come down and try me anytime, Dalton.
I will.
Down at the bottom of the basement of the league so far, the Rangers in Detroit, 1-4-0.
Gotta say, neither one of those records surprised me.
Yeah.
They're both going to be competing for that, what is it, Jack Hughes?
Jack Hughes, lottery? Yep, Jack Hughes. Lose Hughes.
Yeah, hopefully not. The Oilers this year.
Oh my God. We don't need any more. Stop.
It's one more in franchise center, please.
yeah, exactly. Well, so I think it's just, honestly, I'm on Detroit. I mean, Detroit has a few good pieces, but then once you delve into like their cap situation, they've screwed themselves.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since Zetterberg called it quits, they're done.
Yeah. But then the Rangers released that note at the end of last year saying, hey, guys, we're going to suck. Yeah. Stick with us.
That's confidence inspiring right there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I respect them for that. I wish the Oilers had done that a few times. The Oilers, when the Oilers knew they were going to be bad, if they just released a letter, it was like, hey, we know we're going to be bad. And if that's part of the Oilers' problem. They think they're going to be good. They got to stop kidding themselves and just realize when they were going to be bad that they were going to be bad.
Well, yeah. Well, do you see this game that they played today? Daryl Katz showed up with Wayne Gretzky. So there's a lot of rumors going on about like a full cleaning of house in the Oilers organization.
So I've heard that too, but I'm actually not surprised that Daryl Katz and Gretzky showed up to the Rangers game. Because when I went up on my me and my dad went on a New York trip last year, and I don't know if you heard the story, but we basically went to the hotel in New York City when they were doing their road trip where they played the Devils, the Islanders, and the Rangers, and me and my dad ended up running into the team. Yeah, I told you this. I was Snapchatting you videos of me peeing myself as I got out of the bus.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah. So they were all like in the lobby and stuff like that, right? And so I'm actually not surprised they're at the Rangers game just because it seems like that road trip or just like whenever they're there, Gretzky and Katz and all them go just because it's New York.
Well, it also makes sense for Gretzky to go to that game because, you know, it's two of his former teams playing.
Yeah, exactly. And so like I'm not surprised that he's there.
Yeah, but I also want to keep Clutch close to my rumors that they're going to fire everyone. Because, like,
So, all right, do you like McClellan?
Man, I don't... He does He's just so slow to adapt, and he's so quick just to throw every single line he came into the blender.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a little bit of a combination of both those things there that just make me hate him as a coach sometimes. I do think he's probably the best coach the Oilers have had in, like, the last 10 years.
Yeah. I like McClellan a lot. I agree he's a little slow to adapt. Like, I remember when we first drafted Puljujarvi, and everyone was talking about his one-timer and, like, his release and all that stuff. And then McClellan looked at the same game tape that everyone else has and was like, we should park him in front of the net and have him bang in greasers.
Yeah, especially since he's one of the few right-handed shots you have in the lineup that can actually shoot.
Exactly.
It's insane to me that he's not on the first power play unit.
First power play unit on that left side. Get Lucic the hell out of there.
No kidding.
Get Lucic off the ice when it's power play. So then you got
fair to Lucic. He's played pretty well.
All right. Yes, Lucic has played well this season. I agree with you. Yes. But you get Lucic the hell out of there. So then you put Nuge in the slot, like the Jets power play, where they have Scheifele in that slot waiting for that one timer in the middle. Right? Then you throw Puljujarvi where Laine would be on the left side for the one timer.
Yeah.
McDavid on the right side, Klefbom at the point.
Yeah. I would rather see Bouchard out there for the first power play unit than Klefbom as well.
You think?
Just having that right-handed shot for McDavid to have one to get with?
First power play, there's just too many options. Wheeler's really great at picking part the box, and as soon as you open up the seam, it's over.
Yeah, Wheeler's such a good playmaker. He's just...
Yeah, Wheeler's honestly one of really underrated. I feel like he's gotten a bit more love over the past couple seasons, but I still think he's so underrated. He's so good.
That contract that he just got handed, I don't love it.
Yeah, he's a little old. Yeah. But
that's what
the
Jets do.
Yeah.
You gotta pay the man.
Like, you can't say he didn't deserve it, especially after last season.
Absolutely. But it's just a question of how long can he keep this elite level of playmaking and ability? Like, is he going to go the Joe Thornton route where he's still really, really good for a while?
Yeah, exactly.
Or is he kind of going to fall off?
He's going to fade out, yeah. I feel like he's got the wheels on him to go pull a Patrick Marleau or a Joe Thornton and just keep going.
He's extremely fit, and he actually has gotten better with age. Like the Blake Wheeler that we inherited in 11, he was a good hockey player. But Brian Little was our best forward for like the first 4 years, no doubt. And just blossomed into this player. And you know, you have to admit, too, I mean, getting better players to play with every day helps, too, right? When you look at that power play, he can go across the seam to line A for one time, which is an instant goal.
Yeah.
He can put the point to Poplin for a howitzer. He can bump it up to Scheifele in the slot for a deadly wrister. Like, I mean, there's just so many weapons for him. All he's got to do is just find.
Yeah. And I feel like the Oilers could copy the Jets power play so easily. You put Puljujarvi where Laine is. You put Bouchard up top for the one timer. You throw Draisaitl on the goal liner in front of the net. You put McDavid where Wheeler would be, who controls the whole power play. And then you put Nugent Hopkins in the slot where Scheifele would be for the one-timer. So you got Draisaitl, who's a left-handed shot on the goal line, who can stuff. McDavid, who can throw a cross-ice seam to Puljujarvi for a one-timer, throw it back to the point for the Bush bomb.
The Bush bomb.
I can't wait till he scores his first goal.
Oh, man. He's looking deadly out there.
He almost had one today.
Yeah, he's close. I would also be fine with Ratty on the first power play unit, too.
No.
He's got a pretty good 1T. He's got a pretty good 1T, too, that man.
I don't know.
He can. The thing I like about Ratty, like, I hate to go keep on preaching on how much I love him, but, like, he's just so good at getting the puck from the opponent, too. He's a great forechecker. You can really tell that he's making the most of this chance here. He was almost out of the league. Right?
Listen, he's the answer.
He is. Every question.
Can you play defense?
Sure, why not?
The answer. I think it all rides on if we're able to control the puck. I think the whole Oilers season rides on if we're able to hold the puck and Talbot can stop all of our defensive breakdowns.
Yeah. Talbot needs to be the Talbot of 2 years ago, not the Talbot of last year.
Listen, and I listen, so preseason Talbot, I was so excited. His save on Pedersen or Goldobin, I don't remember who it was, in the preseason where he reached back with the glove. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, that's it. We're making the playoffs. Where's the parade? And then first game of the season, first shot of the game, Paul Mary picks a corner. And I was like, oh, no. That's
it. We're going back to this again.
Yeah.
Doom and gloom. We're missing the playoffs. We're finishing at 20 points.
Dude, nuclear meltdown on Twitter.
Oh, man. It's crazy how fast Oilers fans just instantly, like, that switch flips and they're just like, nah.
And so, like, so you were living in Edmonton for a while. How was the atmosphere there, like, around the team? Like,
I was actually living in Red Deer. I never actually lived in Edmonton. It was more my sister was, but when they were having that run there, it was insanity.
I bet.
Every single night. Like, it, I'm glad that I wasn't in Edmonton for that, because I would have failed every single final I had.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know. It's early in the season, but the Oilers have to be good. If the Oilers aren't good this season, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Yeah. Here's a question. If the Oilers miss the playoffs this year, who gets fired? Who do you get rid of?
I think you have to get rid of everyone.
In my mind, I think what should happen is you should get rid of everyone. I think what will happen if they miss the playoffs is that Todd McClellan will get fired. Torelli will get one more chance, one more year to prove.
Oh, no.
I think that's just what's going to happen, because I think it's going to be Torelli who fires McClellan.
I don't know. I mean, listen, you might be right, and that's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's not what I want to happen, but I think it's just what will.
All right, so to wrap up this first episode, boys, we got a early season predictions. What are you guys thinking?
Like, who's going to win the cup?
Well, yeah. So, who's playing in the cup finals? So, who beats it in the cup finals?
Ooh, I'm calling Tampa's making it, for sure. I'm calling a Tampa-Nashville final.
And who wins?
I'm giving it to Tampa.
Tampa-Nashville. All right, Chris, what do you got, buddy?
I'm saying it's going to be Tampa-Winnipeg, and I think Tampa's going to win.
Oh, wow, you're betting against yourself.
Well, I'm not betting. I mean, I could lie to you guys and say the Jets are going to win every game, and let's be realistic.
My answer, the Oilers are going to win every single game this year and also going to win the Cup. What about you, Michael? What do you think?
I think for me, I'm saying – I'm going to – unpopular opinion here, Winnipeg-Toronto.
Oh, how could you?
I think Winnipeg-Toronto, and I think Laine better than Matthews.
You think Laine's better than Matthews?
No. I'm just stirring the pot a little bit.
All right.
I'm saying Laine better than Matthews, Winnipeg beats Toronto for the Cup.
I mean, if Winnipeg and Toronto are playing, I would say Winnipeg would win, yeah.
I think I just got an erection. That would be a dream for me to beat the fucking Toronto Maple Leafs and shove it down those bastards' throats.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would love that. Except for the fact that the Leafs get to make the Cup Finals, which I would hate. But, you know, them losing would be good.
All right. And so last question for the episode. Hot take. It could be for the week. It could be for the season.
Ooh. Hot take, Carey Price wins the Vezina Trophy.
Ooh, that is a blistering hot take.
He drags them into the playoffs as well. That's what I'm calling.
You're calling Price wins the Vezina and Montreal makes the playoffs.
You know what? I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to say Carey Price wins the Hart Trophy.
Wow.
Hey, you wow. Want a That's blistering, boy.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think you got any skin left on. You burned it all off.
Yeah, I'm going to need some, like, serious surgery.
Yeah. Aloe ain't going to fix that. All right, Chris, what do you got? Hot take.
I don't have any hot take.
You don't got a hot take?
No hot take from me.
Come on, man. I just put myself out there with Carey Price. I didn't want to do that.
You go. I'll try to think of something. Go ahead, Mike. You go first.
All right. Hot take for me. Here we go. Well, I mean, I guess a hot take would also be Toronto doesn't make the playoffs.
That would be a hot take.
But
yeah.
I just said that Winnipeg and Toronto are going to play in the Cup Finals. So, hot take. San Jose misses the playoffs.
Ooh.
I'm saying San Jose misses the playoff. Erik Karlsson has his lowest career year.
All right. In your hypothetical scenario, does Erik Karlsson re-sign with the San Jose Sharks?
This is his last year in his contract, right?
Yeah.
Okay. In my hypothetical, Erik Karlsson has his worst career year. San Jose misses the playoffs. I'm going to say no. He re-sign, and Erik Karlsson re-signs in.
Just say Edmonton, please say Edmonton. Dear God, say
I'll say. All right, I'll give it to you. Erik Karlsson signs in Edmonton.
What a day!
All right, there's my hot take. San Jose misses the playoffs. Erik Karlsson lowest career year. Signs in Edmonton. All right, Chris, what do you got? Hot take.
All right. My hot take is the Jets beat out Nashville for the Western Conference regular season, I guess, title. And the Preds get knocked out in the first round because Rene sucks.
All right. Preds in first round. That's pretty hot.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Jets beating the Preds for the conference championship, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
If you had to make me bet, I'd bet on the Preds to win the conference, right? But Preds in the first round get knocked out. That is a hot take. I like it.
Yeah. All right. So that is it, boys. We'll do this again next week. We had a wonderful time, and we will see you guys all next time. Oh, don't forget, follow South of the Blue Line podcast on Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube, Anchor, anywhere you can find podcasts, it's probably available. Thanks so much, boys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. See you later.
Later.